We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne the...
You just keep saying it. No, and we're going to keep that in.
No, we're going to keep that in. No.
Because this is the last Breakfast Club interview of the year, but it's also the last Breakfast Club interview in this studio.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And I'm actually glad that he's here.
That's right.
This is a great note to end on after 13 years.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, Drewski is joining us.
Thank you. Good morning.
What up, Drewski?
Thank you. No pressure, Drewski, but this is the last day.
Y'all don't give me the bullshit just because I'm the last one, though.
No, let's wrap it up.
You know why I'm glad you're here? Because you represent the now, but you also represent the future.
Yes.
And that's what the Breakfast Club is currently doing right now.
We represent the now,
but we're moving into the future. So it's good to have you here, brother.
That's perfect.
How you feeling, brother?
I feel good, man. I feel blessed. I'm actually super excited I'm up here because I literally sat back and watched y'all for so long. It's like, one of those moments where it's like, damn, I'm here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get a lot of money, Drewski.
Nah,
you're getting a lot, Drewski. Drewski, stop by. First of all, you see how they try to just pop it off? One of your partners was a close friend of mine, Hovain.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
God bless
him. Rest in peace, Hovain, yeah.
Was he your manager? Or?
Yeah, at one point we worked together, yeah. We not towards, you know, the end of it because, you know, some, you know, business is business, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, So, but nah, he was a great guy, though.
So, I'm fully aware that you're getting money, Drewski.
Oh, man.
Goodness gracious.
What makes you say that?
I mean, your outfit, your chain, and plus I see you on commercials. This was
a gift, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not just out here buying chains.
Who gave you that?
You know. We'll talk about that later. Yeah, nah, we'll talk. You know, I don't want to, you know, put it out there. But yeah, it's a gift, though.
So let's start from the beginning. How did it all get started? You went to Georgia Southern University.
Yes.
Now, and you wanted to be in sports broadcasting.
Yeah.
And what happened?
I think I just wanted to be on TV, man. It wasn't really about doing sports broadcasting. It was just, like, something I knew I could go to school for to, like, you know, entertain. I didn't know. I knew my parents wanted me to go to school, so I'm like, all right, I'm going to figure out a way to stay in school and do some cool shit, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was like the go-to just to do that, though. But I ended up doing what I really wanted to do now, you know?
How did you make that pivot?
Yeah. dropping the fuck out of high school. I mean, dropping out of college.
So what year did you drop out?
I think I did 1 year at GGC, which is like a close school to where I'm from. Mm-hmm. Then I went to Georgia Southern, and I did like a half a semester.
Jesus.
And just stopped going to classes, just all in general.
Let's talk about that mindset. Like, I mean, yeah. I never went to college, period. But so what made you realize that, you know what, college isn't the move for me?
I think, bro, just going up, those classes are so big, you don't even have, like, a real, like connection with none of the teachers. I think when I started out at the smaller school, I was cool because I still knew people where I was mm-hmm, from. Mm-hmm. Everybody's still cool with each other, you know. It felt like high school again, you know. Mm-hmm. That's another year of high school. You get up to those big colleges, I thought it was about to be, like, a party, you know what I'm saying? You watch movies like ATL or Drumline and stuff, and you see, like, kind of like the college type of, you're like, okay.
Right.
All right. And I thought it was going to be like that, but nah, man, I went all the way out there to that party school, and I ended up hating it, bro.
What made you hate it?
I went out there for other reasons. I went out there thinking this is, like, the lifestyle I could live. Like, yeah, this is the real college lifestyle. And I ended up just hitting me in the mouth with it, like,
But you thought it was going to be like partying and women? What you thought it was going
to be? Yeah, I wanted that, man. I wanted a real college experience because when you go to those small colleges, you don't get that. Like I said, like it's high school again. So I was like, okay, I'm going to step out here. I'm trying to get my deal on, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I needed that though because I ended up figuring out that I wanted to be a comedian when I didn't go to class that other semester.
So basically you went to college and was like, damn, we still got to do work.
Yeah. It's actually worse because the teachers don't give a crap about you. Nah, the teachers, you even got to show up.
You got to do your work.
Yeah.
If you don't, you fail.
You walk in, it's a lecture, it's 1,000 people sitting in here. They don't care who you are. You walk in, man, listen, man, it ain't for everybody.
Where
are you going back?
Let's go back before college. Let's go back before high school.
Yeah.
Because you just don't start being funny. Like, I can watch you and tell this guy is naturally funny.
Right.
It's not performative. Yeah. You had to be the class clown, the disruptor in school, something.
I was always the class clown, man, since I was, like, in elementary school. But I didn't know that's what I wanted. I wanted to do that, but I didn't know it was, like, a real profession that could, like, be my career.
Right.
You know, so, like, I'm young, and I used to go to second, third grade, and I used to ask kids, be like, who do you think the funniest in our class is? And they'd be like, oh, you're so funny, man. Like, you know, I thought that was like the cool thing. So every year, like, my goal was like, yeah, I'm going to be sure I'm the funniest in this whole grade. Like, I want everybody to agree that I'm the funniest. So it's just something I would put in the back of my head. But I never thought I would really end up making it a career, honestly. I just didn't think too deep into it. But I definitely have always been a class clown, man.
What did you do back in the day that you realized, like, okay, when you think about it now, like, I went too far back then?
All them ass whoopings, man. My dad was whooping my ass.
Really?
Let me talk about you went too far on?
What did I go too far on? What, in elementary school?
Yeah, like prank-wise.
So let me give you an example.
But the trauma, I'd rather hear about the trauma from the ass whooping.
Let me give you an example. So Charlamagne used to make fun of this kid that was mentally challenged.
Oh, man.
Right? And he would make fun of this kid all the time.
Yep.
Until one day, the kid turned around and beat Charlamagne's ass.
He didn't beat my ass. He choked me. It's a difference. He put me in a dope fiend. He put me in a sleep.
You know they strong, though.
What?
Hey, I'm telling
Drewski,
you. No, they strong.
You have no idea.
Yeah, you got to see how they built. They stature built.
Right.
They always got big booties. So you should know. I'm telling you. That's why I never did that. They just go into the bathroom. You know when they go into the bathroom, they pull their pants all the way down. And I could tell from stature. I'm like, okay. This dude built up. He got some strong hind legs on. You know, you don't mess with them, man. I'm telling you right now.
Post you up in the paint real well.
I just always knew not to mess with them. I could tell. Yeah.
So why'd you bring up your daddy beating you?
Oh, man. You know, that was just some.
Where you from, first of all?
And why he tried to make it seem like it was like just the worst thing.
You,
I think everybody got whoopings. Yeah, everybody got whoopings, man.
But you just volunteered the information.
Nah, I mean, that's really how I knew. Like, I was really wilding out when I was in elementary and middle school. Yeah. Go ahead. Say what you're saying.
No, that's it. But I will say this. The reason I'd say you probably wasn't wilding out like you thought you was, our parents, man, the way I don't know what year you was born, but I was born in 1978. The way we was raised, them ass cuttings we used to get,
yeah,
that was them projecting their trauma on us sometimes.
Yeah.
Because we ain't, I ain't deserved to get beat with no extension cord.
I think he might have.
Hey, extension cord?
Yeah,
he might have deserved it.
My dad was old school like that too, though. He used all types of.
He tried to light his house on fire. Like
that's not what Drewski. He's lying. That's not what happened.
What's the reason?
I was in my room just playing with a lighter. I wasn't trying to light nothing on fire. Playing with the lighter.
What happened?
Nothing. Like, I was like, I would light the carpet, put it out, light the carpet.
That's not trying to set the house on fire. Like, have you ever said, you know what, let me try to light my carpet?
I did stupid stuff too like that. Like, I was big on the stupid stuff. Like, I put a paperclip in an outlet, and it like blew up on me in my face. For real. And, yeah, I did a little stupid stuff.
How long
like
you been suicidal?
No, I was not. What?
How old?
Yo, why?
Jesus. Why did you try to kill yourself?
Just curious things, man. You know, when people used to tell me, yo, don't do that, I'm like, I need to figure out the reason why. Why is everybody tripping if you put something in the outlet? Like, yo, I see plugs going there all the time. I got to see what's the reason behind that. So just... stupidity,
Jesus.
Man. Yeah.
So when did you twist and turn to doing skits online? Like, what was that first turn?
I think my mom was a big factor behind all that, man. My mom is hilarious. She honestly is a character herself, and she would joke around and play in character sometimes in real life. Like when I was like maybe 5-6 years old, we would be getting ready for bed, me and my brother. And she would come in there and, like, we're asking, like, Mommy, can I get water? Mommy, can you tuck me in? Mommy. She'd be like, oh, yes, sir, master. Well, I guess that for you. You know, I wouldn't want to look you in your eyes if you, you know. I used to be like, yo, what is wrong with this? Like, but we'd be dying laughing, like, right. And then we end up just falling asleep because we're just laughing and she'd just go over top. But she definitely inspired a lot of the, you know, the characters and just me playing around and having fun. I think she always would record everything I did for a reason, and I didn't know until now. You know, I look back and I'm like, she was influencing a lot of this stuff, man. Yeah.
You one of the people who used the internet the right way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you've used it to, you know, build a career for yourself that has actually turned into, you know, a career. So what was, like, your first breakout moment online, you think?
Man, I was doing so much during the pandemic. The pandemic was a great time for me because everybody was, like, tuned in to anything online, anything. So I took over, like, the whole pandemic. I was doing skits about these white boys I went to college with, Kyle Rogger, where I would do this frat boy character that I would always mess around doing. And I did a lot of other stuff, like, that people could relate to and find as funny, you know. We took over during pandemic. That was a good time for me. Not healthy.
And what was your first big break? Like the first time people seen you? Because after the pandemic, everything went off. You did commercials. You were doing tours. You were doing everything. So what was
you on tour now? The coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah, man. Coulda, woulda, shoulda tour, brother. Go get y'all tickets. I think the first big opportunity I was handed was Drake's Laugh Now, Cry Later video. That was a really, really big moment for me.
He reached out to you?
Yeah, he did.
The DM?
And it was really early on too, man. But I knew he was watching because, you know, he would laugh at certain stuff in the videos and stuff, and I was like, okay, that's crazy. And he reached out, asked for my number, and then we had a couple conversations. Next thing you know, he was like, yo, I need you to come to Oregon at the Nike headquarters, and we're gonna shoot this video. I got this concept, and I was speechless. I didn't even know what to say, you know.
Did you think it was really him when he hit you, or did you think it was somebody fake?
Nah, I knew it was him. I knew it was him because, you know, he's one of those people that I, like, tapped in. He don't really let a whole bunch of people run his stuff, you know. I knew it was him.
How much does one charge for that? Because you young in the game.
Yeah.
You probably just want the opportunity, so you're probably not even thinking about the money.
Drake calls is free.
Yeah, nah. It wasn't. I think it was off the love, but also, they threw me something. It was a good check.
But see, the reason I brought that up is because a lot of times people don't recognize opportunity unless there's a paycheck attached to it. To me, that would just have been a great opportunity that I would have took.
Yeah. But see, I sacrificed a lot of other stuff during that time. Like, I would go and do a whole bunch of stuff for free that I knew was a great opportunity. Like, before Jack Harlow blew up, I went on tour with him for free.
Okay.
Like, and literally, because he was just like, yo, I can bring you on and you can host before I go up on stage, which was like small shows at the time. He was like, we only got one slot on the bus, so you can't bring none of your friends. I have no money. I don't have a budget to give you to come out. He's like, honestly, this could just help you just get experience on stage. And I was like, all right, bet.
Dope.
And I was like, broke. Like, I couldn't even pay my rent at the time. And I was like, I'm going. like, it don't matter. He was like, I can pay for your meals, you know, and we'll just figure it out. And that was one of those moments as well that was just like sacrifices, you know, just.
How long was y'all on tour?
Almost 2 months, I think.
Wow. Whoa. So yeah. This is great. You on tour for 2 months. He's paying for your food. I'm sure with hotels.
Nope. We were staying on that bus. Yeah, we doing truck stops. We were stopping at truck stops in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
We was on that bus. See, I took showers and washed up at truck stops.
Yeah, like if they did get a hotel, it would be like one hotel room. Everybody's about to go in here. You go shower. You come out. You go shower. You go come out. You go shower. You come out. And everybody get right back on the bus. It never was like hotel rooms for everybody.
So Jack wasn't even Jack yet.
Yeah, not yet. But he, you know.
Man, there's nothing better than that, man.
Yeah, man.
And now y'all both have come up together. Mm, you know what I'm saying? He's blew up to be a big star. Now he can give you even better looks.
Yeah, man.
You know? This house Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I see y'all did y'all research, huh?
How was that?
When you said the food was terrible, I understand.
Yeah, I can't even trash it, man, because I don't know who cooked it. You know, I thought it was his mom. I can't trash it for that because I love that lady, but somebody was cooking that stuffing in there. I don't know who it was.
It was somebody white, I'm sure.
Yeah, his whole family, yeah.
So were you reminded in that moment, like, oh, man, Jack's cool as hell, but he's really white?
Yeah. I think they were singing Kumbayas for Thanksgiving. They be singing, like, songs and stuff.
Yeah,
they're big on that. You know, they print out these sheets kind of like y'all got, and they pass them around to the kids, the moms, the aunts, and they singing white spiritual songs.
What did you do when they were singing? You were singing?
I was just staring there, but I think I was recording. I was like, yo, is this... This some type of, like, yo, I don't know. I didn't know if it was a ritual or something. You know.
Did you act like the food was good while you was there?
I definitely put on a little bit. Yep. I definitely misled them. I definitely misled
only
them.
Only to tell the thought, world later on.
Yeah, I feel bad. That's why I was saying I feel bad. I don't know who's cooking the stuffing, but somebody don't know what they're doing.
Damn, it was that bad?
They like to put breadcrumbs and everything.
Yeah,
you top it off with breadcrumbs. It'd be like green beans, top it with breadcrumbs. Macaroni, top it with breadcrumbs. Why?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's raisins just, in the potato salad?
Pointless stuff, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, just.
And Jack
just,
was acting like it slapped.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's just spam, though, man. They cool, they cool. I tell you that, though. They cool. They might not be able to cook. They cool, though.
So what'd you do? Say, hey, man, Jack, take me to KFC or something.
Man, I was in there singing them Kumbayas, man. You crazy. I ain't say none of that.
And did you spend the night at his house?
I think around that time, we were on tour, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We I think we might have got back on the bus after that. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
So what does this coulda, woulda, shoulda tour look like?
Oh, man, this is about to be amazing. This is a great tour. You're going to get me. You're going to get some of Coulda Been Records, you know.
Who's on Coulda Been Records?
Oh, man, we ain't signed nobody yet, but we looking.
Oh, you looking.
We okay. Always looking, you know, and I always say this. It's not about talent. Some people just got the look, right? And it's always, I feel like sometimes people just have what it takes to be in my presence, you know?
Okay.
So, yeah. With that being said, you know.
You think y'all ever drop music?
Yeah, we ain't to that point, man. I'm still disciplining some of the artists that we looking to sign. I'm still disciplining.
Mm-hmm.
You tried to sign NBA, right?
Yeah, I tried to sign him, man. He's an interesting cat.
Why you say that?
He's just, you know, bipolar. Yeah, try to get on the same page with him. I never can, though.
Who else did you try to sign that didn't?
I think I tried to get Kodak.
I remember Kodak.
Yeah, I tried to get Kodak. That. He didn't like that I presented the opportunity in the way I did.
How'd you present it?
I just told him, I said, yo, we passed on your opportunity. But we still look at him, and he ain't like that.
No?
Mm-mm.
I can see why.
Yeah.
And I also see you a love interest in the video.
In my cousin's video.
Which one?
My cousin. Chloe Bailey.
Oh, that's your cousin?
Yeah.
So they say.
Are you really?
No, dead ass.
Oh, yeah,
like third,
man.
Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh.
It don't matter.
Yeah.
It's my cousin.
It's my girl. Yeah. Chloe Bailey. That's crazy.
Yeah, y'all do a lot of IG lives together.
Yeah.
People think y'all really dating.
Yeah.
Really?
That's just a rumor. We did a movie and, you know, people just, everybody talks and stuff. Yeah. I'm the love interest in the movie that we're doing. Yeah.
What's the movie? I didn't hear about
Praise that. Praise This. It's actually going to be a very funny movie. It's a.
You have a love scene?
Like love making? Man, I'm saying, like, what's a love scene? Like, I don't know. Nah, it's a church movie, man. It's a family movie.
Like
it's a family movie. We ain't talking about love, Megan. I wouldn't be against it. But I tell you what, she's She's a very beautiful individual. She's very hardworking, and that movie's got to be amazing.
Who produced it?
Will Packer. Tina Gordon directed it.
I never heard about that. Has that even been announced?
I believe so, but I think it's like under the radar right now. I don't know if we, but when it comes out, it'll definitely be pushed for sure.
And when somebody asks you to do something like that, do you ever say to yourself, I've never been in a love interest before?
Yeah, no, it was so weird because this is my first movie. And but if I fit the role, though, because it was a comedic role. And we never fully like told each other that we liked each other in the movie. So it was one of those scenarios where we kept missing. You know, it's like the moment's there, but it's like, you know. Mm-hmm. So maybe in the second one.
Do you feel the need to prove yourself to, I guess, the OG comics? Because there was this thing one time where OG comics would be like, oh, people from the internet aren't real comics.
Yeah. Why do you think I bring this tea up here, though?
To look like
to look like I know what I'm talking about. I seen the OGs coming up here doing it. I seen like Kevin Hart and them. You know, I seen them bring tea, so I'm like, all right, let me make a statement. Let me bring a hot cocoa up here.
That's that's true. That's true. That is true. And you know,
so that's one of my things. I knew I was gonna do when I came up here.
Drink tea.
Yeah, I was just gonna bring something just to look like I'm noble. You know? Just to look.
Now, when you go on the road with Drama and Wiz Khalifa and all those, so how is doing that? Because you're a comedian amongst all these artists. Is that difficult? Because they want to see people perform.
You're saying like when we're just chilling, hanging out?
No, when you're on tour, when you're working.
Oh, when I'm on tour. Nah, that's not hard, man. You know, those are the ones that show love the most. I like when people come out and come to shows and stuff. Yeah, that's nothing. This dude is a bullshitter, man. He's so full of shit. Keep going, nigga.
Man, just listening. You say you appreciate it.
Yeah. Do,
but you never answered the question about do you feel, you know, you got to get these OGs respect as a comedian.
I think that always happens, man. And I think you just gotta go through the hard work. The first thing Kevin Hart told me when I went to his show and I went backstage. And I was like, I was just watching him, you know, everybody congratulating him, like, oh, my God, it's a great show. Oh, my God. And I was just looking at him from across the room because they invited me to the green room. And I'm just like, all right, when's my moment to say what's up? You know, like I was kind of nervous, you know. And I'm expecting just to be like, yo, you had a great show. Dude breezes past me and he looks at me and says, stop being a bitch. I was like, what the hell is he talking about, man? And I had my hand extended out like, for, hey, what's up, man? I thought he was going to be like, hey, you're killing this shit, man. He walked past me again. He said, I'm telling you, stop being a bitch. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I'm asking his boys. I'm like, yo, what is Kevin talking about? For real? And he walked up to me.
Get on that stage.
He said, get on that stage. He said, stop acting like you're too good to do stand-up. And he was like, you doing all the little hosts and the tours. He said, but you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing. He said, see, y'all scared, man. He said, these new cats, y'all scared. Y'all think y'all got all the fame. Y'all think y'all the shit. He said, stop being a bitch. I'm like, man. And that hit my soul, man. And I started going to these open mics and working on my set, you know. And, you got to fail before you
We always ask, get out of here. You remember your best show and your worst show?
Mm-hmm.
What was the worst show? Let's start with worst.
I had a really, really terrible experience more recently. I tried to say a joke.
What city?
This was in Atlanta. I was just going on an open mic. And, it just fell very flat.
What was the joke about?
I'm trying to remember. I think I told a story.
That traumatizing? But, you had to forget?
That I just wanted to erase that from my mind. I can't think of the joke I said, but it was something about like my past. Yeah, it fell flat though. Like I think somebody clapped, like in agreement with me, and I knew. I said, okay, that wasn't what I wanted. I'm not up here preaching, man. Somebody started, you know, they're like, oh, okay. And I'm like, hey, man, expecting a laugh here.
So what do you do from that? So now you're Drewski. Now, this is recent. So this is Drewski.
Yeah, yeah.
Millions of followers. Mm-hmm. You're on tour. You go on stage. They cheering because they're excited to see you. You tell
them. I said it straight. I tell them as soon as I get out there, I say, hey, man, I'm working on stuff. Y'all don't expect nothing because, you know, people try to stand up and do it. Yeah, standing ovation. But, you know, when you're working on your set for, like, a big show that's coming up, you got, hey, I just walked out there and say, hey. Y'all know, hey, I am Drewski, yes, but I'm working on stuff. Don't expect no big, you know, my best jokes right now, you know. But that's how you get better, though. That's the best way.
How'd you walk off stage after they did that? Did you just end right there?
I think I tried to say something else. And, I followed. I said, that's my time. You know, just try to say, you try to do something and just, yeah, that's my time, y'all. Thank y'all.
I want to go back to what you said about Kevin.
We talked about the best show. We talked about the worst show.
Oh. Why?
Just like the worst show.
About positive stuff.
So what was the best show? Do you remember your best show you had?
I think my best show, I did a piece of Coulda Been when I was on the Lil Baby and Chris Brown tour. Mm-hmm. And I had this dude come out who was previously on my Instagram Live, and he came out and danced, and like, the crowd, it was hilarious. Like, I was just reacting to everything he did, and that was a really good show.
But you wasn't telling no jokes.
Nah, it was like improv, you know? I was just out there just wilding out. Like, I was fucking with the crowd and, you know, all that. Sorry for cussing.
No, go ahead. But to that point, I knew exactly, when Kevin said stop being a bitch, I knew exactly what he was saying to you, because that's what all OGs do. Yeah. But do you have to hit the stage? That might not be your thing.
Yeah, I mean, he's saying stop being a bitch as in, like, go out there and try it before you act like you're too good to be doing, or don't be out here acting like you, you know, don't be acting like you the shit and you ain't even tried something that, you know, could be potentially huge for you. So he's not necessarily saying I have to be a stand-up comedian. Yeah. He's just saying, like, yo, go try it out. What are you, like,
'cause on the flip side, there's stand-up comedians that can't do what you do online.
Yeah.
They can't do. They're not good in sketch. Like, you might be a great sketch performer. Not saying that you can't be both. I'm just saying you might be. That might be your lane.
You're right. Only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
We'll see if I get booed off another stage, or not even booed. Another clap like that.
Yeah.
Another clap like that. I might wrap it up.
Do you feel like social comedians get the respect they deserve though?
A lot of them don't. They try to be like they the shit, man. I be talking to some of these dudes. They think they, like, big time, for real. They get a couple followers and, you know, they start, like, ignoring calls and acting like they can't do certain stuff, you know, respond to DMs. So, yeah, it's a whole bunch of them princesses out there, man. It's weird. It's, you know, all this clout stuff is just weird, man. Sometimes you see these dudes, they'll dap you up, say what's up to you. Sometimes you see them again. Couple months later, they act like they don't even see you.
And see, that's, I don't remember I haven't been following you forever, but I don't remember the clout era, Drewski, because there's always an era where there's somebody just doing things for attention, but then they realize, like, oh, no, let me actually start doing actual sketches and doing rich. I don't remember you ever being a clout chasing
person. Yeah, no, I never was into that, man. You know, you would see some of these comedians, they were going to stores, and you remember Boom Gang?
Yeah, licking shit.
Yeah. Just wilding out, crazy, screaming, yelling, doing all type of stuff. Y'all remember Boom Gang, right?
Yeah, you found God now or something.
He used to come to New York and knock over people's tables, man. And we always used to say it was dumb, but I'm glad he did change.
Yeah, did y'all ever interview him?
Nah.
He tried to come up here a couple times.
Yeah, we never interviewed Boom Gang.
We never did it because of, you know, it's not right. People are trying to make some money on the street selling stuff, and he would kick the table over, jump on the table. We just didn't respect it.
He was probably going to do some crazy shit up here.
But he found God.
He did.
It wouldn't have worked that well if he did that up here, though.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have worked well.
Now, in that interview,
y'all got a lock on this door now.
Well, we got security. You see those two white guys out there?
Oh, see, that's what's going on. Well, even the older dude.
Well, no, it's a Puerto Rican and a white
Puerto Rican
guy.
And white guy.
Yeah.
The
Puerto Rican was like, he don't play that shit.
No, he don't. They don't.
Yeah, Papa don't play that shit. he don't bullshit. He don't play around.
I saw you with Speedy, and you was talking about how when you're with, like, A-list celebrities, paparazzi ignores you. That bothers you?
Not anymore. I haven't gone out to where it's like that anymore. I did at one point in time. It was like that, though.
Yeah, of course. You walking with Jack Harlow, they say, excuse me, can you step to the side?
And around the time I was hanging with, like, Odell, you know, he's a big-timer, man, so... You know, I actually get inspired by it. Like, we'll leave, and I'll be like, damn, that's so cool. You know what I'm saying? One day, just one day, man.
So it motivates you.
Yeah, it's motivation, for real, yeah.
Has any celebrity just walked past you, didn't speak to you at all, and continue to ignore you?
Oh, man.
Always remember that, but like, all right, I'm going to get that back.
Yeah, well, it's not even I get that back. I just, Hollywood is weird, man. These people, like, they'll literally, you'll see somebody be like, oh, my God, man, hey, I love you, boy. I love you. Next time you see that dude, he'll just be like, shit, you like, what? Like, yo, you my boy, man. You remember? And it'll be a big time person. You'd be like, yo, it's just wishy washy, man. Wow. It's, you know, that's Hollywood, though. I'm sure y'all have seen people act different.
They come and they go.
Yeah, man.
We've been around a long time. And you know what's so interesting? The people who are actually somebody. Like, I'm talking about, like, the Jay-Z's, Beyoncé's of the world, nicest people. Yeah. But walk in the room, say what's up to everybody, introduce themselves.
Yes.
But then it's these one-hit wonders that be acting all extra.
Oh, man.
But you know what I think it is? I think when you come from a certain environment, you have a notion in your head of what you think a celebrity's supposed to act like.
Yeah.
You know?
See, that's the problem, though. A lot of people believe that they have to act like that, you know? Like, yeah, I'm big time now. I got to act like I don't mess with people like that. Mm-hmm. That's twisted, man. That's backwards.
Now, I want to go back. You said something earlier about, I don't know what the politically correct term is now, mentally challenged folks. But you talked about how fat their asses were.
Mm-hmm. What? That's what you want to go back
now,
to?
No, because I noticed something, Drewski. You noticed asses. And I'm going to tell you what I noticed that.
Yeah, man.
When I forgot what performance it was, but Jack Harlow was performing on a plane. Mm-hmm. And he had all his friends on the plane.
Yeah.
You were looking at Jack's ass.
He was sitting
in the chair. Was I, though, man?
Yes, go back and get him. Yes, you were. Yes, you were.
I remember I dapped him.
No, you dapped him, and then you was like,
And then you leaped over.
Yes.
But, nah, I think what had happened, he dropped something out of his pocket. I think his wallet
dropped. He didn't bend over.
Nah, he didn't bend over. Something dropped, and I'm like, oh, there you go. He's performing, so I couldn't even say nothing. But I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, okay. He dropped something out of his pocket.
It was his back pocket then.
Yeah, it was back pocket.
Now you look.
Y'all believe me, right?
No.
No.
Yo, come on, man. Hey,
I don't care. I just want
to know. I ain't gonna come up to Breakfast Club and lie. I seen something drop, man. Yeah, I wasn't looking at that, man. You know.
It's okay. It's performing.
It's all right. If that's what you went to, it's cool.
Now ain't nobody said all
this. Yeah.
See how you trying to change?
Hey.
I was just asking a question. How long have you been noticing asses,
brother? I was born in 94.
Okay.
What that mean?
I have nothing. It sounded like I was, you know. That's why, you know, I keep grabbing that tea. Yeah. Keep grabbing that tea. It makes me seem like I know what I'm talking about. I got nothing. No, y'all stupid, man.
What's next for Drewski, man?
Yes, what Drewski got coming up?
This should have tour.
For future reference, know when people ask you that, the interview might be wrapping up. Just know that.
What's next for Drewski?
It's up to you.
Yeah, what's next for Drewski?
It's really when people say things like, what's the next for Drewski?
Be prepared.
What you got coming up?
It could go either way.
Or when they say, give me your Instagram.
It's time. Don't do me like that. It's the last one now. I got a lot in store, man. We're writing scripts for this movie for me and Jack right now. We're actually in process of a TV show that will be coming to FX that Kevin Hart is also involved in producing.
Wow, you and Jack?
No, not with me and Jack. Me and my friends are actually writing a movie for me and Jack right now.
Okay.
Ourselves and my team.
What's the TV show at FX?
The TV show at FX is based on my life in high school. Hmm. Yeah, being like a super senior.
That's intriguing.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Because, you know, Kev executive produced Lil Dicky's show, Dave, which I love. Man. Dave's funny as shit.
Yes.
So they gonna really let you do your thing.
Yeah, man. We you know, we had that green light stage where everything is coming to.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So you was excited. A super senior?
Yeah, I wasn't a super senior. I was almost a super senior.
Okay.
So but thank God for the mother I got, you know, she made sure.
Yeah, but you almost failed 12th grade?
Yeah, I was playing catch up the whole time. I failed every single class in ninth grade, including gym.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, just from, you know, messing around, bullshitting. But I had to play catch up all those years. Like, I literally was behind the grade every year. And I was supposed to get class clown 12th grade when I was supposed to be a senior, but I was labeled as an 11th grader.
Mm-hmm.
So I won the award, but they're like, hey, man, you can't even. You didn't even take senior pictures.
Why didn't label you as an 11th grader?
Because when you're behind and you're catching up, you are still an 11th grade credit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, until you get that credit, I'm sure you know about that. Yeah, he a young nigga.
I would have never thought you failed gym.
Yeah, man, I failed. What do you mean you never thought I failed gym? Look at me. What are you talking about, man?
Right.
It's not that hard to tell.
Right.
Jim is a hard sport, man.
We appreciate
it's a hard class.
You learned a lot from you.
No, stop. He was
hey,
dead.
Hey,
no,
hey,
dead.
Hey,
no.
Hey, I know, no. Hey, I know you want to wrap this up and move to the next building.
No.
Get my last words off, man.
But see, this is what I mean, right? When the NBA asks what you got coming up, you actually got some shit coming up.
Yeah.
And so it turned into a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, the rest of them be like, hey, man, my Instagram is.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so what I find interesting about that, Kev told you to stop being a bitch.
Yep.
But clearly, there was something that happened, some type of connection with you and Kev that ended up with Kev executive producing a TV show.
Yes,
so tell us that story.
I think he was interested because when we pitched it to his team, and he had like sent everybody like back and wanted to talk to me one on one on the Zoom, and this was like a long time ago. He was just like so hands on with his team and his company, and I wasn't expecting that. I actually was expecting to talk to all these other people at his company, probably never talked to him, you know. Right. But he was so hands on and loved the story when I was telling him about all my high school stories that I had, you know. And he was like, "Bro, let's do it. Let's just make it happen." So he got the process moving even quicker up at FX.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So the show is going to be a show that what, 4 seasons, cuz it's got to...
Yeah, it's not going to live in high school the whole time. I think the first year will be about high school, and then it'll move on about like my life, my family. There's going to be a lot of funny scenarios though. It's a lot of funny.
Where y'all shoot?
Yeah, we're working with Stacey Scherer, and she is a great producer. She also has produced Reno 911. Yeah, and y'all seen Reno 911?
Absolutely. Hell yeah. Niecy Nash and Cedric Yarbrough.
Yeah. So I was so inspired by that. We ended up meeting her, and we have some scenes on the show will be inspired by Reno 911. Okay. So I'm going to be working at my dad's company that is like a top flight, you know, security company.
You going
to
wear the little tight shorts?
Little tight shorts. Yeah.
But it's care about?
Yeah, see, but he tried to get back to the ass. He tried to get back to the ass.
That's Reno 911. They wear the little tight shorts.
Yeah, they do, though.
Yeah.
He ain't seen it for real. You just agreed.
No, he said he's seen it. I don't see it.
Yeah. You got to watch Reno 911.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Crazy.
Who you think got the best ass in the industry?
What?
Ask Charlamagne that same question.
That's real. No, I got to answer this. You know who got a plum?
Ooh.
Y'all know Cheryl, what's her name? Cheryl, she, dark skinned lady.
Cheryl Underwood?
Cheryl Underwood.
He was talking about male.
No, I was not.
Cheryl Underwood.
What's up with you, bro?
She got that thing.
Ask Cheryl Underwood?
Yeah. Who got the best ass in the industry?
I don't be looking. I'm married.
You really?
Yeah.
You don't look at all?
Mm-mm.
Juicy, let me tell you.
Are you married? No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm married.
Juicy. You ever show your wife? No.
Not really. I'm not the Instagram, like, hey, we at the roller coaster, you know, we at the restaurant. Like, nah, I don't do all that. Nah.
You know brothers that do that, they be the ones that be like, where the bitches at?
They retired.
No. Black men don't cheat. Hey, I've been clean since October 2016.
And you cheated then?
That was the last time.
What happened? What made you stop right there?
I started going to therapy and realized that I was you know, insecure,
ego.
And
I was
coming from a place of wounded ego, and I was trying to do things to feed my ego instead of doing things to feed my soul.
Drewski,
that's deep.
Ask Charlamagne about an artist that came up here, right? Doing a drop outside.
He's telling on himself.
Ass against the screen.
He's telling on himself, Drewski.
Ass against the screen. Against his window.
As the person doing a drop, Charlamagne, deep in love.
You believe this?
Ask Charlamagne who it was.
I don't even know who he's talking about.
Who was it?
I have no idea. He's talking about himself. See, like right now, and I want you to be conscious
he's
of this.
He's projecting.
When this guy, Nick, tells you to stand in front of that glass and do your tuning, turn around and look
at
Nick.
Why do we have to stand in front of the glass and do that?
Look at his angle look where the glass is at. And just turn around. When you turn around, guess who you're going to make eye contact with? Just remember that. It's going to happen in about probably 5 to 7 minutes.
That is sick.
Just think about it.
That's sick.
He's going to ask you to do a tune-in.
I'm a married man with 6 kids. That's
he's going to stand you in front of that glass. Think about it when you're doing the drop and turn around and look and see who you're going to make eye contact with.
Who got the best ass in the street of you?
I'm a married man, sir.
Yeah, you're a married man, but I'm just saying. If you had to.
A married man. I'm a married man. I won't have to.
How you feel about Cheryl Underwood?
I've never looked.
Never looked.
You met Cheryl?
No, I never met her, but I've seen her. I've seen her. Yeah, I've seen her. And she be wearing them little blouses. So, you know.
Play with Cheryl if you want to. Cheryl's an OG.
She'll take me up through there. I know, that's why I'm saying it.
That's right. You over there flirting.
I want to see what you do.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm trying to see what that means.
That's right. You act like you want to come in the house. Cheryl go open the door.
Yeah.
Then what you going to do?
She hand out that whooping. Like one of them ladies that do that spanking. Do that spanking. I'm with it. Hey, I'm with it. Oh, I'm telling you.
She's going to feed you, though.
Yeah.
She's going to Cheryl.
Hey, yep. Cheryl.
Love you, Cheryl.
In. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Drewski, we appreciate you for joining us, brother.
Give me Instagrams.
So we can wrap this up. Jesus Christ. I don't even want to do it, man.
Yeah, it won't be. It won't be the last time, man. You on your way. Like, Drewski is absolutely, positively going to be a big star in this industry. Everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. All you got to do is keep your head on straight and the sky's the limit.
And we might need you for a couple days, too.
Yeah,
we're gonna have some celebrity hosts with us and some guest hosts and stuff like that. So we might need you for a couple of days if you're in town.
All right, man. Yeah, definitely. Let's do it.
No, for real.
Man, we serious.
Where? What's the event?
When we're moving. We're moving.
When we booking that?
We're moving to a new studio. Okay. And Angelique has her own show now, we're not rushing.
Yeah.
To get a new co-host, so we're gonna rotate guest hosts for a long time.
Oh, that'd be dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know when you're in town and you got something you want to promote, just pull up and you know do the radio show with us in the morning.
Let's do it.
All right.
I'm done.
But for real, give me Instagram.
Ah! You like, wrap this up, please. Yo, y'all follow me at Drewski. Tickets for the Coulda Woulda Shoulda Tour will be on forlifeisworld.com. Y'all go get that.
All right. Well, it's Drewski. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
You know a spot, but not just a spot. The spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.